This is Caravan to Midnight Sixth Element, live from space. This is Arc Midnight. Tonight on the program, our Fortnite intelligence briefing. And what an excellent lineup of doctors and individual researchers. I speak, of course, of Mary Fanning and Alan Jones we have for you tonight. Here in about 30 minutes, maybe a little less, Dr. Lee Merritt will come on. And then Dr. Brian Artis will join us, followed by Colonel Lawrence Sellin, Ph.D., and then Dr. Mark McDonald, and then Mary Fanning and Alan Jones. I am John B. Wells, by the way, the host of the program. Great to be with you tonight. I like the Saturday nights, laid back, kind of, okay, let's settle in and get into this stuff. Because there's a lot of stuff to get into. There really is. You know, it's not all gloom and doom. It really, really isn't. Actually, it's quite wonderful. It's quite the opposite. So many people are waking up to what has happened to us, and they are pushing back. They really are. The easiest way to push back is just ask questions and question narratives. Oh, yeah. This program is brought to you in its entirety by the members of Caravan to Midnight, and I mean that. No government subsidies, no taxpayer funds, no corporate control, as it might be. Nope. No Caravan members, no program. And we're about to hit our 8th birthday on the 3rd of February. I say that over and over again, but I'm just delighted to be able to say that at all. It doesn't seem like 8 years. It really doesn't. 3 or 4, maybe. Okay, 4, not 8, but it is 8. And there's been a lot of ground covered. Many, many things have been revealed over the course of the years, coming from many, many esteemed guests who have come on the program, the interviews with whom are sitting in archive waiting for you. So our deal still stands if you want to join. And if you'd like to have some new Eden too, but you don't want to do $185 for 1 year of Caravan to Midnight and a jar of New Eden plus the $12.50 shipping. You don't want to do that. Well, then do this. Get 2 years of Caravan at $60 per year for $120 and just add $12.50 for shipping. And we'll send you an otherwise free $125 jar of New Eden for you to try. And you're going to love it. You really are. The new generation, global comprehensive nutrition. We take it. In fact, I had some just a little while ago. As a matter of fact, I put it in my fuel up. I really do. And get that bi aloe going. And I think, Brendy put some amino acids in there as well. So you can make your own concoction. But believe me, just freestanding, you can augment it with anything you like. But the New Eden is a perfect freestanding product. And Fuel Up is a perfect freestanding hydration product that has some very interesting benefits. Remember all these people coming on TV talking about belly fat? All these girls out there going, get your belly not so fat, belly fat. Well, the belly fat will go away. So will the fat on the flanks. It has the same effect that it's had on me and everybody I know who's taken it. You don't have to do anything. It's really weird. It's not an appetite suppressant, the Fuel Up is. It's not. It's a craving suppressant, I would say. I'm not sure such a thing exists, but it seems to exist because that's what happened. And you can organize your meal schedule. You'll be ready at the time that you eat. You're not ravenous and ready to go. You'll sit down and go, well, I need to eat. I haven't eaten in a few hours here. You'll enjoy your food and then you're done, but you'll find that you're not going back for second and third helpings. Nope. Because your nutrition levels are right up there where they need to be. Now, I said there's no gloom and doom, and it's not gloom and doom. It's confirmation, actually. Rhoda Wilson wrote this. It's posted for you there at jellyfish.news, and it's titled, American Scientists Confirm Toxic Graphene Oxide and More in the COVID Injections. Yeah. Rights and Freedoms is the website. And here it goes. I'll be brief, but I want you to hear this. It is a human right and global law governed under the Nuremberg Code that vaccine-specific ingredient information is disclosed. Now, this isn't just some excellent sentence that's been put together. Sounds really good. No, it's really, really true. It is a human right and global law governed under the Nuremberg Code that vaccine-specific ingredient information is to be disclosed. It is critical, required, and necessary information so anyone from any country in the world can make an informed decision whether or not to consent to medical intervention, because the full list of ingredients of the COVID vaccines has not been made available. Dr. Robert Young and his team conducted research to identify the specific ingredients in the Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson COVID injections. On August 20, they published their findings. Well, the headline will do for starters, won't it? Yep. Graphene oxide is in there and a whole bunch of other stuff, too. It's crazy. We're going to get into so many details. Now, if you want to know about this stuff, that's okay. If you are new to the program, have been with us for a while, and have not been able to confirm this to your satisfaction, rest assured that this is not conspiracy theory at all. It's conspiracy fact. Stand by. We come to you from an undisclosable location for reasons of security and therefore insecurity. Well, there's plenty of insecurity-generating stuff out there. However, we're becoming more secure all the time. I'll be brief with this. Dr. Robert Young is a biochemist and a microbiologist and a clinical nutritionist. He and his team of scientists have confirmed what the La Quinta Columna researchers found: toxic nanometallic content, which are magnetic toxin, cytotoxic, and genotoxic to plants, make that magnetic toxic. Dangerous to insects, birds, animals, and humans, all life on the planet, basically. One of the vaccines, with quote marks around the word vaccines, even contained life-threatening parasites. Taken together, the vaccine components, which include, yes, graphene oxide, among many others, and which may be influenced by radiation sources external to us, think 5G, create a toxic chemical and radiative soup inside our bodies. So look, we know that anybody, and I'm going to say this again just for anybody who missed it, because I want you to know this, because I really feel this way. It pains me to say this stuff, because I have friends and a couple of loved ones here and there who have had these vaccines, and they all got sick again. Some of them much worse than they'd ever been sick before. So because it's personal, I keep their names out of it, and I don't even allude to how I know them or what it is about them that I know, how I came to know them at all, because it might reveal their identity in some way. But listen, it's not pleasant for me to talk about this stuff when people that I care about may have been injured by this. So understand this, please. For every problem, somewhere there's a solution. And that's what we're about. We're not about whining about the problems, because as my father told me when I was a little boy, life is problems. Occasionally you'll have just pretty much a problem-free little spell, but life is problems. You're going to be confronted with problems as you go through life. So the thing to do is expect them and deal with them definitively when they appear. And in the meantime, he taught me to look things up. I'd ask him a question: what does this word mean? Or what does this mean? What the other mean? He'd point to the bookshelf and say, go look it up. It's like, you know, Dad, can't you just tell me? We didn't have this conversation, but it would have gone, no, look it up. What he wouldn't tell me, of course, is that I'm teaching you how to think. Oh, gotcha. But I figured that out later, so it's all good, as the phrase goes. All right, so here's the thing. We're working on countermeasures to this. Now, a device that, and this isn't all about selling you something. I'm just telling you that the things that we mention on this program, we sell at ctmstore.com, because they work for us. And we're very discriminating when it comes to anything we're going to put in or on our bodies. So this device, this SD1 Human Protect, apparently this thing is pretty expensive to produce. And it's not exactly cheap. I think it's $295 in the CTM store. There was a special on them for a while, but that expired a couple of weeks ago. And people were going, hey, the promo code doesn't work. So anyway, there is no promo code now. He may do it again. I don't know when. We don't have a heads up on that. But if he decides to do it again, maybe he will. But this has been shown to the satisfaction of the BISA Certification Institute in Austria that this device works and will actually defeat these spike proteins. And the spike protein, this has been bandied about before, and the good doctors tonight may address this. I'm pretty sure they will. It's not just the virus that wreaks a wee little bit of havoc inside the body. What it is, the spike proteins. The spike proteins can also infect. And apparently, this disc, this Human Protect SD-1, mitigates thoroughly the effect of spike protein So look into it. We have them. This plate that I have right here that is just harmonizes the incoming radiation here in the studio. It says made in Germany on the back of it. It's a meaty, weighty little thing. It's about, I don't know, probably 9 inches in diameter. And we use them. We like them. It's like, okay, let's have an acid test. Let's take these things away from us for a couple of days and see what happens. Well, all kinds of things happen. Everything from restless nights, not sleeping very well, to not enough to stop you from what you're doing, but enough to notice strange little headaches, strange little vision anomalies. Like I say, they're not profound, but they're noticeable. So it's like, okay, after 48 hours of that, let's get the plates back in and let's do the acid test. Let's make sure we're not talking ourselves into something. And sure enough, I mean, we're pretty objective. I mean, we're looking for some reason to say this is rubbish. You know, we cannot offer these to people. And of course, we make no medical claim about them whatsoever. No health benefit of any kind is offered. We have to say that for legal reasons, but it's also true. There's no guarantee here offered. I'm just saying we use them and they work for us. So you might want to think about it. Now, here's another one by Karen Richardson. No more disease. If someone showed you something that could eradicate all disease that allowed the body to cure itself, you'd probably say, yeah, sure. But CDS, true self-healing, is CDS, chlorine dioxide solution, the cure to all disease in the body? I don't know, but I'm definitely going to ask the doctors about it. Maybe they know. There's a lot to know out there. And many doctors, very, very good ones, they narrow their focus to specific things. So it's pretty much impossible to go to the medical oracle of all time and just ask any question whatsoever regarding the human body and human health and get a solid answer. But this is promising. Surely if such a thing existed, it'd be available everywhere and all the doctors would be recommending it, or would they? Unfortunately, Karen Richardson writes, these health protocols are hidden from the public because they would bring an end to the pharmaceutical giants who, remember, only make money if you're sick. And guess who makes over 90% of the pharmaceuticals that Americans take? You are correct, the Chinese. Sadly, the controlled narrative around these products is that they are dangerous or harmful. If that were really the truth, do you think that the men who have brought these incredible protocols to us would be walking free? Do we think that there would be thousands and thousands of testimonials from people who have been healed from many different diseases thanks to these protocols? Well, certainly not. I urge you to go to jellyfish.news and look for this article. Now, this Karen Richardson, I do believe, in fact, I'm sure of it, we know Karen Richardson. And she has a variety of what we will just call at this moment, because I don't want to suggest anything medical here, but diagnostic tools. And so I'm ever the Missouri-born Texan going, okay, first show me, and if it goes too stupid, it's going to turn into, now look. You know what I mean? Well, her instruments work, and her protocols work, and so, she writes here, so are these protocols genuine? In my opinion, they are, but I'll let you form your own opinion. Please read on. So, let me see here. I am not a medical professional. I cannot recommend that you take any kind of health protocol. That's me too. But I can certainly recommend that you do some research yourself, and I'm happy to point you in the right direction, so please read on. So what is MMS/CDS? I don't know either. Let me share with you the story of MMS discovered by Jim Humble in this beautiful 30-minute film made by Sacha Stone. Be sure to bookmark this page if you need to come back to this later. So there's the film. I can't show it to you now, clearly, because it's radio, right? So then we go on. And just this last little comment. I was blown away at how CDS uses oxygen to literally burn any pathogens, including viruses, bad bacteria, parasites, etc., in the body. I can assure you that you do not experience any burning sensations, though. So to help you understand, here's a quote from Andreas's book. Andreas Kalker, K-A-L-C-K-E-R. Andreas Kalker. Yeah, yeah. The minute we are born, we start breathing and filling our lungs with the most abundant oxidant in the world, oxygen. Oxygen allows us to survive on our own and is vital to our lives. Well, everybody knows that, right? But for starters, we fill the red blood cells in our lungs with oxygen, eliminating the polluting CO2 through exhalation. We are doing Just the same thing a combustion engine does, only more efficiently. Aside from taking in oxygen, eliminating CO2, we also alkalize the body with every breath we take. Now, if you would deny that high acid levels in the human body are not good, there needs to be an alkaline level that is maintained, and it can be done. So look, very few human bodies, they function pretty much perfectly, but occasionally there will be a little stumble there, and when that happens, you need to know why your body is stumbling and then take countermeasures to do it. So what we do at Caravan is we provide the information. After that, it's on you. You know, we know what we do. We can say, yes, we do these things. Yes, we have had this effect. So in other words, it's the old, we can provide strategies and we can provide tactics, but in the end, it's your fight. It is. You got to do it. It's your health. You have to look after it. And one of the mistakes I do believe we've made is we've taken advice from some people who are really more, just because it says doctor, some doctors are better than others. And so they'll just say, well, take this, you know, take two aspirin, call me in the morning, that kind of thing. Now, that's a little bit unfair because a lot of times that's exactly what you need to do. But the point is that, oh, well, no, I wouldn't worry about that. I told you the story about this thing. I put some Retin-A on this part of my thigh. And in a couple of days, I thought, that doesn't look good. I think that really, really ticked it off. So I went to this, the skin doctor goes, I don't think it's anything to worry about. And I said, well, biopsy it anyway for me, okay, and get rid of it. So he takes out a scalpel and knocks it out. I get the biopsy in the mail about a week later and says, malignant carcinoma. Nothing to worry about, right? Then I went to see him for the post-op little checkup there. I had my motorcycle helmet on. He goes, I wouldn't be riding that motorcycle. I said, you know what? You stick to your diagnoses and let me worry about the motorcycle, all right? Kind of a good idea we biopsied that thing, isn't it? Did you get that? I noticed that the base membrane was intact. So that means there's no, the thing didn't move somewhere else or penetrate where it could make a problem. That's correct. Okay, see you. Thanks, doc. Bye. The doctors we talk to know what they're talking about. They don't have that kind of an attitude. I mean, some people are mercenary in every profession, whether it's a teacher, a doctor, pick one. A philosopher, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a marriage counselor. They're doctors of psychology, sometimes, usually. But their attitudes vary. How many students have we heard of that learn just enough to pass the test, and then you ask them, what'd you study for the last 4 days? They can't tell you, because the object was to learn what's going to be on the test, most likely to be on the test, study for that, know that thoroughly, go take the test, pass the test, and then promptly forget it. Well, knowledge, learning, and being a true professional is constant gardening. You have to stay on it, or you'll fall behind. Okay? Did you already know this? You just needed me to say it? Okay. Happy to do it. We'll take our bottom of the hour break, and when we come back, we'll be speaking with Dr. Lee Merritt on this Fortnite Intelligence Briefing Medical. Caravan to Midnight's Sixth Elements from the Bridge of the Ark. We'll be back. Please stand by.
You can catch it if you wanna ride. Don't you worry if it pass you by.
That's right. We'll circle back and pick you up. This is Ark Midnight, and we now present, coming back to us from CTM episode 1473 on February the 2nd, 2021, and Ark Midnight, November 27th, 2021. Seems longer, but here she is. And if you are new to the program, let me very quickly tell you, Dr. Lee Merritt began her medical career at the age of 4, carrying her dad's black bag on house calls along the back rows of Iowa. 1980, graduated from the University of Rochester School of Medicine and Dentistry in New York, where she was elected to life membership in the Alpha Omega Alpha Honor Medical Society. She served 10 years as a surgeon in the U.S. Navy. After leaving for the private sector, she became a consultant for the Navy Research Advisory Committee, looking at medical defense issues. For most of her career, Dr. Merritt has practiced orthopedic spinal surgery, doing 12 spinal surgeries in an average week. And after dealing with government health care on a daily basis, she became a strong advocate for private practice, patient-centered medicine. She is the past president of the Association of the American Physicians and Surgeons, and is currently quite active as a member of America's frontline doctors, fighting against mask mandates and for freedom to choose appropriate care for COVID. And so I say again, we welcome her back, Dr. Lee Merritt. Good to have you on tonight, Doctor. Thanks for coming on.
No, thank you.
Where shall we go? Are we thinking, you know, how about this? How much collusion in regard to vaccine injury? And what am I hearing out there by way of chatter about de-licensing doctors for speaking the truth? Are doctors really being leaned on to the point of yanking their licenses?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I have one colleague who, he had his medical license taken without any due process, just by notification. We're jerking your license as an immediate threat to the public because you don't force people to wear masks in your office. I mean, that made him an immediate threat to the public. Now, keep in mind, just like in the restaurants, this is when you go into a medical office, if I have to look at your mouth, you have to take off the mask. So nobody in science can really believe this is about contagion control. But you see, he's one of the doctors speaking out against the tyranny of people control, so they don't want him speaking. And they threaten doctors. I will tell you, we're dealing with a huge, long-standing cartel. If you want to say the big picture here, this is my impression. We have a long-standing big cartel comprised of Big Pharma and its paid toadies, the CDC, FDA, media, and both houses of Congress. And essentially, pharma has bought and paid for government to force you to buy their product. This has been going on for decades. I mean, wouldn't you love a business where the government could force other people to buy your product? And they did it in the form of childhood vaccine panels. And I love that term, childhood vaccine panels. It makes it sound so routine, but it was a mandate. They forced people to vaccinate their children in order to take advantage of their tax dollars they put towards the public schools. And it started out a few vaccines, and pretty soon now, you know, there are 72 vaccines that you have to have your child get to go from kindergarten to graduate. And I mean, it just goes on and on. The pharmaceutical company pays for fact checkers. So if parents start to speak out about this stuff and say, you know, my child was never the same after he took that vaccine, or I'm reading about all these, like the Somalians up in Minnesota and all these groups of people saying that their children really are getting autism after these vaccines, or that they're being damaged in some way. Well, they have fact checkers like factcheck.org, independent fact checkers who just coincidentally own over $1.8 billion of vaccine stock. I think it was in Johnson & Johnson. I could be wrong about that one, but it's in one of them. And their head is a former director of the CDC.gov. So they bought political will. They bought a mouthpiece. They bought the media. They're the biggest, sponsors of all the shows that we, you know, people watch. So the media never goes against them because they'll go down. They're the biggest funder. And then what's happening with these doctors getting delicensed? The doctors, you know, I heard years ago, and I'm blanking on his name now, it was a famous economist, said that there shouldn't be medical licensing. And I thought, well, that's crazy. But, you know, I've come around to that position because all medical licensing does is absolutely exert top-down control on what we can talk about, what we believe. And all but five state governors put some limitation, first on hydroxychloroquine, and now they're squeezing everybody against ivermectin. And doctors that don't agree, who speak out, who try to talk about just the science. I mean, I know somebody who had their license jerked just for reporting on the CDC's own data on vaccines. So you can't make this up, but that's what they're doing. If doctors start speaking out, then what will happen is, and I have my own personal experience, but they accuse you of medical disinformation. Now, they don't define medical disinformation, and I don't really think they care about the facts, but we'll see. But that's what's going on. And doctors, here's how crazy it is. You know, at first, they didn't want us to use hydroxychloroquine. Well, then doctors kind of figured out, hey, that might not even be the best drug anyway. Let's start. Ivermectin seems to work. And now we have over 76 studies big studies, like the 220,000 people in Brazil, where they had a 50% reduction in mortality and hospitalization by using ivermectin. And in fact, the big meta-analysis of all those studies showed that the chance of this being just a fluke, just factitious and not really true, is one in like 68 billion. So ivermectin works. No, it's not 100%, but it's got a lot of studies that show it works, as opposed to remdesivir that has one study. You'll hear probably that from Dr. Artis sometime. One study, and it's killing people, but they're willing to accept that. They don't accept all these things. So if you speak out, so now to get you not to use ivermectin, they tried to tell the doctors, they sent out letters like in my state, oh, if you use this, we kind of might look at your license. Well, that didn't stop conscientious doctors from still using it because they knew it was saving their patients. So then the cartel somehow got to the, well, not somehow, they got to the pharmaceutical boards, and the pharmaceutical boards pressured pharmacists not to dispense the drugs. And then when patients realized what was happening and they said, well, we want to be prepared, so we're going to order it from Indian pharmacies or Mexican pharmacies, the FDA went to the point of getting the Postal Service to interdict the drug coming into America and destroying it. So 40 to 50% of the packages now are being destroyed. This is life-saving medication that's on the WHO most essential medicine list and has been used for decades. It hasn't. It's not damaging people. It's saving people from blindness and malnutrition and all sorts of things. It's called a miracle drug by the Japanese Medical Association, and yet we're destroying it.
Yeah. Now, and then in 2015, Ohio, go ahead.
Yeah, and it's not about the drug, because in Ohio, you can't even prescribe azithromycin or doxycycline. I talked to a doctor. I said, what? Are you kidding me? How do you treat acne? And then the guy just laughed. He said, you're right. We don't. We can't, because I'm afraid to give more than a couple pills or the medical board will look at me. Now, these are drugs that have been around for decades that we use all the time, literally for acne and sinusitis and, you know, pneumonia or mycoplasma. So it isn't about the particular drug. It appears that the pharmaceutical cartel, using the government and all these agencies, they don't want you to be saved. They don't want you to be treated. They want you to be vaccinated. That's what's going on. And doctors, we're just kind of in the way. You know, we're not, those of us who are not going on, we're just kind of in the way.
Doc, I got to ask you a question.
It's amazing.
It's a compound question. Because, you know, that scriptural thing, you receive not because you ask not. Okay, well, I get it. I'm going to modify that for our purposes here, because obviously the question or questions not asked cannot yield an answer. So the questions are these. The big blowback, the big pushback, not the blowback, they're getting those guy mugs are getting the blowback now, but the pushback against ivermectin, which has been designated as an essential medicine, and hydroxychloroquine that has decades of proof of efficacy. Hydroxychloroquine is used to treat malaria. Malaria is caused by a parasite. Ivermectin is used on animals in the veterinary grade to get rid of the parasites. Could the reason that they don't want these things used is because it would tip off too many people that there's a huge parasite component here? I keep beating this drum, and I found very few people that are willing to commit to it, but there seems to be a huge parasite component to this. Would you straighten me out one way or another on that, please, if you can?
I'm with you. And I'll tell you where, again, if you're going to listen to Dr. Artis, I learned a bunch from him. It got me looking at this. And it is true that the ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and there are other drugs that are effective against parasites. And why have we not been paying attention? You know, one of the things that I was taught in medical school, I'm sure they love me mentioning the name because I'm a rebel for the University of Rochester, New York. But I loved my school. It was a fabulous medical school. I loved it. And I was taught real things then. You know, I was taught, for example, that by the pediatrician in 1976 who said he made it sound like vaccines for children, that's just a passing fancy. You know, vaccines didn't cure childhood diseases. Plumbers did. It was better sanitation, better diet, blah, blah, blah. It'll go away. That was what he kind of said to us. Well, that turned out to be wrong because it was a big, you know, push to get these children vaccinated with all these things. But you're right. And we were taught in medical school that we were always to look at people's fresh blood smear, their urine and their blood. And you're always supposed to look at these things because you can find things. And I actually made parasite diagnosis that way, especially in the urine. But you know, now they're taught they're taught, oh, those, you know, because now nobody does it except a few people in these naturopath places or the vitamin shops. And you'll have some nurse somewhere looking at charging to look at whole blood. But that's a good thing to do. And if you do that, for example, you see parasites and you see people that have taken the vaccine. The other thing they don't want you to see is this rouleau formation, how the blood stacks up after you've had the vaccine. So I think this whole thing with parasites is a big deal. I mean, I don't think it's the only thing. I think they don't. There's two motives that are big in them not wanting us to know about ivermectin, azithromycin, I think, and one or ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. One is the parasites, because it may turn out that cancer and a whole bunch of other things are actually mostly parasites. But
there's a school of thought out there that supports that.
There's microbiology that support that too. And parasitologists talk about it, but oncologists don't. It's kind of funny. But the other thing that is the deal is that the vaccine manufacturers they're not supposed to have an EUA, an emergency use authorization for anything for a vaccine if there's treatment available. So if they admit that this works, then they would have to give up the EUA on these very deadly vaccines.
Dr. Merrick, did you change your position, like your physical position, because your signal kind of got a little ragged there, and I want everybody to hear every word. So if you moved, you must go back.
NSA or
yeah, probably.
Let me try a different.
Okay.
Let me try this.
All right. Can you hear me pretty clearly? Or you picking me up all right?
Is that better?
Not really, but we'll roll with it, because our time
yeah,
with you is precious. Now the other thing is, are the Chinese, who's manufacturing these vaccines? If the Chinese are manufacturing over 90% of all the pharmaceuticals that we pick up at our local drugstores from the pharmacy department there. Who's manufacturing the vaccines? Where is the physical manufacturing taking place? Do you know? Because I don't.
Actually, that's a good question, and I don't know that. I do know this, though. I know that the Chinese, our military's had a big push to be vaccinated. So this is a national security nightmare. You know, over 70% of the Army appears to be vaccinated by the last numbers I got, and it may be higher now. But the Chinese and the Russians, they're not vaccinating their troops with these RNA vaccines or DNA vaccines, these genetic agents.
Why am I not surprised?
Why am I not surprised? Right. So I remember saying a year ago, you know, look, we only had 20 people in the military die of COVID in 2020. Why are we doing this? And I can guarantee you, if you don't vaccinate your troops, you'll have a standing army in 3 months. But if you vaccinate them, you may not. Well, here we are. So we'll see what goes on. We're already seeing myocarditis at a higher rate than we ever have per year in the military. And if it at the last time I looked, which was in, I think, October, maybe September, we had already 20 times more myocarditis than we had COVID. And myocarditis carries a 50 to 60% mortality in 5 years. So, yeah, I'm not sure where it's been. I'm not sure where it's being manufactured. That's a good question that needs to be pursued.
I think so too. And what's your feeling regarding the upcoming Chinese Olympics?
Well, you know, I think there's a new PSYOP starting, and that is there's a city in China that's all locked down, and now there are people with some new virus, and people are bleeding from the eyes. Okay, now.
Yeah.
There are a couple things to say about that. What they're describing is hemorrhagic fever, okay? But the fact they don't use that word makes they want to sound like they don't know what it is. Of course they know what it is. And Dr. Fauci actually funded Dr. Xu, I believe that's how you pronounce her name, who was a Chinese PLA researcher working at the Winnipeg lab that was one of the first stops on this pathogen development of the spike protein. And I found out in February or March of 2020 that this funding was getting Xu to go back and forth to USAMRIC, our bioweapons lab, to research Marburg. Marburg is a hemorrhagic fever like Ebola. And these are highly fatal diseases in Africa. They haven't really done much damage outside of Africa, but whatever reason, I thought to myself, why would a Chinese researcher even be interested in Marburg? It's not something that happens in China. It's an African jungle disease. Well, here we go. So now we're hearing these rumors. And the way it's being drizzled out, it just strikes me like an intelligence program. So remember this whole thing started right at the time that we had the World Military Games in Wuhan. If you remember, that was October 19th of 2019.
Yep.
That's the estimated breakout of the COVID virus, of SARS-CoV-2, they want to tell you.
Some have jumped all the way to the virus was released at the military games.
Yeah, you kind of makes in one of the very first victims, or the first victim hospitalized, was a military guy in the military hospital next to the lab in Wuhan. You know, there's level four lab for virology research in China, in Wuhan, China. And where they claim this thing broke out at the meat market just coincidentally happens to be 8 miles away from the only level four bioweapons lab for viruses in China. That's coincidental in a 4,000 square mile country. I mean, you know, that just doesn't make sense. So I think that the Wuhan military games just happened to be staged there. So on the same date that we just happened to have event 201 in New York City, you just can't make this up, all these coincidences. So something is happening. And I personally think what's going on is, you know, people are just not scared enough now about this whole COVID thing. They're tired of it. They look at it like people are starting to wake up and realize this isn't about flattening a curve. It's not a mask wearing doesn't make any sense. You know, the people, we're kind of becoming a bimodal distribution population where they're the people that are, you know, still wearing masks alone in a car. And then we have most people that are saying, not doing this anymore. And then so they're now I think they're trying to do something to make us really afraid. And I would just say to people, fear is the virus. I thought we've had some experience with Ebola in the last 10 years. And I think part of it is a lot of this stuff that we think of as actual native diseases. This whole, whether it's AIDS, Ebola, Marburg, you know, a bunch of these things, we were told these were emerging infectious diseases, that they came out of the jungle because we paved the Kinshasa highway and suddenly there were truckers going back and forth into deepest, darkest Congo. And now all these diseases are coming out, but they never, ever find an animal reservoir. They really can't trace it to anything. And coincidentally, when this started happening, was when they were running a bioweapons program called Project Coast down in South Africa. So in my opinion, there's a real question whether these are really naturally occurring diseases at all. But what I can tell you is Ebola seems to be a lot worse when it breaks out in Africa, for example. They'll have it'll just kind of go through like fire into this area. If you believe the news reports, which how many of us can confirm, but there are people on the ground from different, European and American medical people. And so you kind of think it's true that it seems to kill a lot more people when Ebola breaks out. It's a big disaster in these villages. But when somebody came from an Ebola ridden area, and I'm just saying this because there was a day in my life I would have been afraid if I'd heard that Marburg had broken out in a village, not in Africa. But now I'm thinking there's something we don't know about this, that this is an intelligence operation and we shouldn't be so afraid, because the guy came from an Ebola outbreak in Africa. He got on an airplane. He flew over to Texas. If you remember this a few years ago, he got sick. He vomited, got sick in the house, vomited in the parking lot, was sick in the emergency room in a major metropolitan hospital. But did we have an Ebola breakout? No, we had a couple people. It got sick, but nobody else died except him. So there's something very different between Ebola or Marburg or these hemorrhagic fevers in Africa than there are in the Western world.
Well, I was looking around earlier, and this Phyllovirridae family that Ebola is part of, and Marburg, both of them are.
Yeah.
Well, fruit bats seem to feature in this infected animals, such as fruit bats and chimps and gorillas and monkeys and forest antelope, whatever that is. There are about 50 different species of them, or variations of an antelope or a deer or whatever over there. I think this is just a big setup. I wonder what it is.
I do too.
I mean, I really wonder what it is. Is it a depopulation thing? You got some people who are regarded as authorities in their fields saying we don't have enough people on planet Earth, let alone to go out into space. Yeah. I think it might have been Elon who said that. And I'm just wondering, is it all about the money? Is it all about the depopulation? Is it all about depopulating enough so China can take over because everybody who helps them is going to be in such good shape once they get the big payoff? I mean, what could this possibly be? What's the motivation for doing this if it's deliberate, Dr. Merritt, in your opinion?
Well, I don't think it can just be money. I don't think it can just be money because it doesn't, like you say, it doesn't really make sense at some level. Maybe the pharmaceutical companies are just in it for money, and maybe, but the guys at the very top of this show, the people in the shadows running this and funding it, I think it's more about depopulation. Tyrants always want to depopulate. They're afraid when too many people wake up and become aware of what's going on. And that's been since the time of Plato. And how many people were there in ancient Greece? You know, it isn't about numbers. It's about their perception of power and their containment of power. So I think that's it. And in favor of that is, if you look at the numbers, and Michael Yeadon, the former vice president of Chief Science Officer of Pfizer, he cites Craig on blanking on his black name.
I'm afraid we are clean out of time. If you can hear that music there, we must stop. But hold the line. I want to speak to you before you go away. All right?